This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To the masjid early, to come to the masjid early to be able to apply the sunnah. And to apply the sunnah, of course, the reward is very great. And in the continuation of this hadith, in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ, if you hear the adhan, فَقُولُ مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ, then say whatever he says. فَقُولُ مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ ثُمَّ صَلُّ عَلَيَّ, and then pray, say salawat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي ثُمَّ صَلُّ لِلْوَسِيلَةِ, ask, سَلُوا لِي الْوَسِيلَةِ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ سَأَلَ لِي الْوَسِيلَةِ فَقَدْ حَدْلَتْ لِي شَفَاعَتِي. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you hear the muadhin making the adhan, then say whatever he says. And then say salawat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي, because your salawat reaches me. ثُمَّ صَلُّوا لِي الْوَسِيلَةِ, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me to have al-wasila. Al-wasila, you know, when you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mean, on the day of judgment. And we'll mention that inshallah in the hadith, we'll elaborate a little bit more in that particular dua inshallah. So in other words, if you say that, you say whatever the muadhin says, and then you say the dua afterwards, and part of that dua is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have al-wasila, which is ati Muhammadin al-wasila wal-fadila, and that's the dua. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ سَأَلَ لِي الْوَسِيلَةِ, whoever asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me to have al-wasila, فَقَدْ حَلَّتْ لَهُ شَفَاعَتِي, then he will have my intercession. I mean, on the day of judgment, you have the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. So this is a major benefit. So it's also, of course, it's a major benefit to come to the masjid so at least you can hear the adhan. And that's another reward for coming early to the masjid, is that there are some people who come to the masjid at different times. Those who come to the masjid before the adhan, right, their faces will be like, on the day of judgment, they will have the light like the sun. Those who come when they hear the adhan, their faces will be like the full moon. And then those who come later on, like, you know, who trickle in at the last moments, at the end of time, those are the ones who their faces will like be like the shining stars. And so there's a big difference between the stars, the moon, and the sun. And so the earlier you come, the greater the reward is. You don't see it right now, but for those who, in this world, you have people of different status. People of different status. Even when you get on the airplane, you have the first class, and then you have what class after that? The business class, right? You have the first class, then you have the business class, and then you have the economic class, the economy class, right? So in this world, you have different levels, even when you get on the airplane. And of course, people, depending on their status, social status and economic status, on the day of judgment, it is based on your deeds. And that's the most important. Why? And that status is based on your deeds and your righteousness and piety. And that's, in this world, all the status that a person may have is only temporary. And sometimes it's so temporary because they end up losing that wealth even before they die. And even if they don't die, it ends when they die anyways, whatever status they may have. But the status in the hereafter is forever. And so that's why those who come forward and are quick in responding to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who are first and foremost. And there are people who get rewarded and awards in this world and this life. But in the hereafter, the people who will be awarded and rewarded, they are the ones who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so their faces are different. Right? Just like now you see, can you tell a person who usually in this world by the way they dress, if someone has money or not, the kind of car, house they live in? Most of the time, sometimes you can, right? Other times these people are living they might be in major debt. Like most people in the United States, they don't have money. Their debt is more than what they have. They are actually poorer than most because most people in terms of how much they have. They may have a nice house, a nice car, but their debt is much more. And they're paying off their debts all the time and they're working like slaves. And so sometimes, you know, of course, in this world, you might see something, but it's not there. But in the hereafter, this is what you work for. And this is one way to increase your status on the Day of Judgment. Of course, our status is based on how we are, the level of our piety. Like, you know, who are the most noble people in Islam? In akramakum indallah atqakum. The people who are most noble are the ones who have most taqwa. For us, it's the one who has most taqwa. It's not the one who has the most money, the most followers, the most friends. Because that's what makes a difference in the hereafter. And the people who have taqwa, they're the ones who respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ فَقُولُوا مِثْلَ مَا يَقُولُ ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ. Then say, salawat upon me, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. And when you say salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُوَنِ. Because whatever you say, when you say salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you give salams, for example, it reaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As salawat wa salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches him. How? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to understand that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a different world. It's known as Alam al-Barzakh. And the rules are different. They're in a different world. You know, in this world, then you have Alam al-Barzakh. That's why we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabb al-Alameen. All of the worlds. He's the Rabb of this world, of the Barzakh, of the hereafter, the animal kingdom, the land and the sea and the skies, everything. And so some people, you know how some people when they, when you go to make Hajj, or when you go make Umrah, or when they know you're going to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's city, Medina, they say, send my salams to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do you need to do that? No, you don't have to do that. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي. Because your salawat, no matter where you are, even if you're in the United States, it reaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It reaches him. You don't have to be in front of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have your salawat reach, because it's not your voice. It's not your voice that reaches. It is the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a job. There are angels that go around seeking the salawat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they bring it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's a different world. And so when somebody passes away, can they hear you? They can't hear. Subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to hear. Because if you're walking, you know, when you hear the footsteps, when you leave the grave, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to hear. Because their ears are not working like our ears. Their eyes cannot see. even if you close open their eyes or close your eyes, it doesn't matter. When someone has passed away, they've moved on to the next world already. And they see different things than we see. Just like when you go to sleep, there's a different world. Your soul leaves and it comes back. But your soul sees things that you don't see, like the people around you don't see. What do you see? You see things in a dream. And that's why sometimes, like some of the scholars have mentioned, Ibn Qayyim and others have mentioned, that the only time when the souls can sometimes meet after someone passes away is sometimes in dreams, in the dream world, where it connects the barzakh and the people who are alive. But how are they able to see? And here, it's through the dreams. And so sometimes, have you ever gone to sleep and you had a dream about somebody who has passed away? And sometimes they come and visit you, and you see them. And sometimes they talk to you, and sometimes they don't talk to you. Sometimes they want to know what happened. But do you control what you say in your dreams? But you do remember when you wake up. You do remember, right? And so sometimes a person passes away, and then they see someone telling them, like, I'm in a very place right now because of what I used to do in my prayers and sadaqah and charity. This is what Allah has given me. And so those are glad tidings. And sometimes somebody sees the opposite. How does that happen? Is that true? If it's from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes helps you to connect with those who have passed away. And so when you have a dream, maybe you see your parents or you see your children. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows speak to them. And that's the only way. Because they're in a different world, in barzakh. So when you give salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it reaches the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ and ثُمَّ صَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. And then after that, say salawat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي ثُمَّ صَلُّوا سَلُوا لِي الْوَسِيلَةِ سَلُوا لِي الْوَسِيلَةِ. Then ask for me al-wasila. Whoever asks for me the wasila, he will have my intercession on the Day of Judgment. And so this, from this hadith, we know that it's a part of the sunnah. If the muadhin says something, then you say whatever the muadhin says. And when he finishes the adhan, when the muadhin finishes with his adhan, and of course, then you say the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before that, you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. And you say salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, thumma ba'da dhalika, after that, you make the dua that has been taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wah at-tammah. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wah at-tammah. Oh my Lord, oh Allah, the Lord of this complete call. This complete was salatul qa'imah, and the prayer that is being called for. The prayer that is being called for, salatul qa'imah. Ati Muhammadin al-wasila. Give Muhammad al-wasila. Wasila. This is the intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment, because his status, just like in this world, is the highest, and the hereafter will be the highest. Wal-fadila. وَبْعَثُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدَّهُ. And raise him to the praiseworthy status that you have promised him. And if you do that, then inshallah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ سَأَلَ لِي الْوَسِيلَةِ. When you ask, when you make this dua after the adhan, then you will have the intercession of the day of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The intercession of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from this hadith, the first benefit that we extract from is that when the muadhin says something, that we say, the muadhin says, Allahu Akbar, then you say Allahu Akbar. And if so, everything you say is the same. And so sometimes you have a hadith that's general, and then there are other hadith that specifies, that makes it more exclusive, certain areas, just like this hadith. And this hadith, there are other hadith that tell us that when you say Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah. Hayya ala salah is what? Hayya ala salah. You're calling people to prayer. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala al-falah. Come to success. Prayer, come to success. So if the muadhin says that, then who the muadhin is calling you? Calling to the prayer. So if he's calling to the prayer, then you are the ones, are you? He's already there. You're the one that is supposed to go. And so to repeat something like that doesn't make too much sense, right? You're like, hey, come here. And they say, oh, come here. Like, what? I'm calling you. And you know, you're calling me to where? Where are you calling? I'm calling you, right? When he says Allahu Akbar, that's you glorify Allah. When he says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we say that because we also testify. Then when he says come to pray, you don't say come to pray also, right? Who are you talking to? He's calling you. So when he calls you, what do you say? You say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So this, of course, we get from other hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah when the muadhin says hayya ala salah and hayya ala al falah. And when he says Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, of course, then we continue and we say the same thing. And so, of course, the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Why? Because there are a hadith that mention that exclusively. So what does it mean when you say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hawla yuhawwilu means to change. And so al-hawl and quwwa is strength. In other words, there's no ability to change. That means I cannot do anything. I cannot make a single movement. I don't have the strength to do anything. Illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there something like this? Huh? There's a what?
Water.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, no.
What?
I thought there was an animal over here or something. Sometimes you have something. Oh, okay. I need water too. So we said from the other hadith, amongst the hadith of Muawiyah radiallahu anha, that tell us that if the Prophet, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the companions, he told them to say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When they hear hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, and we say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, there's no strength, there is no strength, no ability. You can't do anything except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you have a general hadith that tells you to do something generally, and then there are other hadith that specify certain areas, there's no contradiction here. So there's no contradiction because you mention the hadith generally, you act upon it, but then in specific cases, in specific areas of that general sense, you act upon that hadith also. So you do both, you use both hadith. You don't say, oh, you should say hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah also, and then reject this hadith or take this hadith and and reject the others. No, the both of them, inshallah, can, you can apply both of them. You can apply both of them in the general case. In the specific case, you do in certain areas. Like, for example, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, generally, what does he say? إِذَا دَخْلَ أَحَدَكُمَ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكْعَتَيْنِ. When one of you enters the masjid, then don't sit down until he prays two rak'ah first. Right? So that's anytime. Anytime. And that's in general. But then you have another hadith that's specific to certain specific times. Like, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from praying after Asr. And so you apply the hadith anytime, any time of the day, but then after Asr, you don't pray. After Asr, you don't pray according to the, you know, some of the scholars amongst them, according to Imam Abu Hanifa and others, that you do not pray when you come in. And Imam Malik, you do not pray when you enter the masjid during after Asr, because the order to pray is general at any time, but it's specified, they're exclusive to Asr only. That if you enter during Asr, you don't pray. And because that's a prohibition. And of course, other scholars have other opinions, like the Shafi'is, they say, if you have a reason for it, yes. The order is general. You're not supposed to pray after Asr, but if you have a reason, then you pray. And then so, most of the scholars have said, those who say you shouldn't pray, they say, because if you make that a reason, then there's nothing left for you. There's no sunnah that's left. There's no, the prohibition is, the prohibition doesn't apply to anything. What does it apply? There's nothing left. You can always pray sunnah because if you have a reason, then you pray. Right? And then, so where's the prohibition? The only thing that would be prohibited would be the sunnah mutlaqa, the general sunnah that you just pray without any reason. Right? And so that's why the majority of the scholars and amongst them, many of the companions like Umar ibn Khattab, said the order is general. You come into the masjid anytime you pray. But after Asr, no, don't. After Asr, and that's why he used to beat people who used to do so. Because he understood it that way. And that's why he understood it. And so that's why here also you say you have a hadith that's general that tells you when you hear the muadhin, say it. Say whatever he says. But then there's a specific hadith. So you don't apply it because you have another hadith that tells you, like, when you get to Hayyala Salah, Hayyala Al-Falah, then you don't repeat after the Muadhin. But instead, you say, La Hawla Wa La Quwata Illa Billah. And so, La Hawla Wa La Quwata Illa Billah, of course, is one of the most, like, this is a phrase that is very, very, very powerful. It shows, it puts the Muslim in a state of humility and humbleness. Because a lot of people, they think that their piety and righteousness, that they'll be able to do this and do that. But as a Muslim, everything that you do, you put your trust in Allah and you seek help from Allah in every single action, every single movement. And even when you're put in a position of sin, you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when he is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yusuf, he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, "Qala Rabbi sijn ahabu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilay." Oh my Lord, even though all of these women are in front of him and they are like prodding him to commit zina, but who does he speak to them? Who does he turn to? He turns to Allah. And that's a believer always connected with Allah, knowing that no one can help you except Allah. And no one can help you to avoid sins except Allah. No one can give you the ability to do good and righteousness and piety except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't overestimate your piety and thinking that you can do it yourself. No. You can only do it by the help of Allah. So even when you're starting to move already, you continue to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things easy for you, to help you to worship Him. So he says, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنْ. If you, he's a prophet and messenger of God. But what does he do? He doesn't say, you know, I'm a prophet, messenger of God, this is nothing, it's easy, you know, I can stay away from this stuff. I know. He says, وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنْ. If you do not, oh my Lord, if you do not avert me from the plots of these women, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ, I would have inclined towards them, وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and I would have been amongst the foolish and the ignorant. And Allah says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ فَصَرَفَ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنْ. And Allah answered his call, and he averted their plots away from them. So Allah, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from sin, but where did he end up going? To prison. Because, oh my Lord, prison is better. Okay, you want prison? You get prison instead. But he would prefer prison even over all of that. But Allah responded to him. And so even the prophets and messengers of Allah, they teach us and that you don't have any strength to avoid sins except by the help of Allah. And that is why if you are in a position, you see somebody sinning, don't think that's because of you, that you're not, that you're better than the other person. No, you're not better than the other person. It is because of Allah that you're not put in that position. It is because of Allah. So you should thank Allah first and foremost that He didn't test you what He tested the other person with. It is because of Allah, not because of you. It is because of Allah that He guided you. And that's why you should also make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the other person. Because only Allah can change things. La hawla wa la quwwa. Remember, there's no change. There's no change, there's no movement. Illa billah, except in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's mandatory upon the Muslim to always be in that state. That a Muslim should always be dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help in every single thing. Every movements, every prayer. Like for example, you say, you know, I want to pray Fajr. Inshallah, I'm going to go Fajr tomorrow. For Fajr. And then what do you do? What you should do is you should supplicate to Allah. Ya Allah, make it easy for me to go to Fajr tomorrow. Ya Allah, make it easy for me to go to Fajr tomorrow. When you supplicate to Allah, Allah makes things easy for you. But if you say, yeah, I'm going to go to Fajr. And that's why when you say inshallah, you're remembering Allah. You're remembering, you're saying, it's by the will of Allah that I'm going to be able to go. But then you have to take it one more step. What should you do? You should also make dua, Ya Allah. Even if you go to Fajr every day. Every day you're at Fajr anyways. But before you go to sleep, Ya Allah, help me to go to Fajr. Because you will not be able to make it. You won't be able to make it except by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you are thankful for the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. And you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is, and the Messenger of Allah described it as kanzun min kunuz al-jannah. One of the treasures of the treasures of paradise. One of the treasures amongst the treasures of paradise. This is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And some people, when they say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it's only in times of disaster. But it's not. It's just, you always say it's part of the dua, or it's us mentioning and admitting to our weakness and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. And that's why when we're put in any type of situation, we should always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to avert us from all difficulties, but make it easy for us to do good deeds. And that's why one of the du'as that he always used to teach to companions is, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika. Oh my Lord, help me to remember you. How hard is it to make dhikr? Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. How hard is it? It's not difficult, right, to make dhikr. And it doesn't take a lot of strength. Even when you're sick, you can still make dhikr. Even when you're hungry or tired, you can still make dhikr. But even that act of making dhikr, you ask Allah to help you remember Him. Asking Allah to help, because every little moment, every single thing that you do, it is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُ الْمُؤَذِّنِ. So the muadhin, when you hear the muadhin, do what? When you hear the muadhin, make the adhan. Right? You know, when you hear the muadhin, of course we know because, when you hear the muadhin, then say whatever he says. So if he's the muadhin of the masjid and he's speaking, then whatever he says, you say after him? No. What we mean is when you hear the muadhin, make the adhan, because that's what we're speaking about. Right, so some people might take literally, the muadhin, he says something, he said after him. No, that's not, we mention that because we're speaking about the adhan, and so everyone knows that it is the words of the adhan that he says is that when we, that we also say it also. And of course, the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is better than the one who calls to Allah? Who is better than the one who calls to Allah? And the muadhin calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the muadhin calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's why, we mentioned already some of the virtues of making the adhan and some of the virtues of the adhan. So I don't want to repeat that right here. But that's the last hadith. This was the last hadith in the chapter on the adhan. And so, and of course, we mentioned the mistakes of the adhan, some of the common mistakes, some of the rulings related to the adhan. Right now, we're going to move on to the next chapter. The next chapter is Bab Istiqbal al-Qibla. Bab Istiqbal al-Qibla. The chapter on facing the Qibla. And so, just like we finish when you hear the adhan, and we are in the book of prayer. After you go pray, of course, we spoke. This is about wudu and everything. It's already done already, right? So now, what's next? When you go to the masjid, the first thing you do when you pray is you have to face the qibla, right?
Of course, on the prayer adhan,
yes.
So some people are waiting to play a call to the adhan o'clock. So can they repeat that after that? They do
adhan. Yes, that's a very, very good question. Is the adhan in your clock? Is the adhan at home? Is that the same adhan as the adhan that's being called? Because it's an automatic and it calls at the same time. Is it the same thing? When it comes to prayer and acts of worship, acts of worship are done by people, not the electronic. That is a reminder for you, right? That is a reminder for you. And that's somebody who made the adhan already and they've recorded that particular adhan. Are we allowed to use that adhan, like to broadcast it? No, it's not. You're not allowed to use that adhan to broadcast it. But if you hear the muadhin, that means hearing the muadhin actually making the adhan, and anything that's electronic that's done without intention, it's not one of the acts of worship. And so that's why it is, because it's also a remembrance of Allah. So it's reminding you to come to the masjid. It's good to have it so that you, the people in the house, but do you get the same reward? Allahu ta'ala. Because the reward is when the muadhin makes the adhan, not when the your adhan machine makes it, right? Because it could go off at any time. Sometimes the wrong time, next thing you put the wrong time, like, hey, what is this? My adhan going off? And you can turn it on and off at any time. It's not the actual adhan. And so do you repeat afterwards or not? It's not the, if you want, it's a reminder for you, but it's not the actual adhan itself. And if the, so the same rulings, the same rulings, you know, to remind you to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you do it, then you can do that inshallah, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the default is like, you know, somebody who listens to the Quran, right? If someone's listening to the Quran, it's beneficial for you to listen to the Quran, to be reminded of the Quran, even if it's through a recording. But to put that Quran only, do you get the same reward as you reading it? No, it's not. When you read it, that's when you get the reward of every 10. So the reward is related to you reading it, right? And you acting upon it. And so the reward is based on that, not based on you listening to someone else. And it's beneficial also that other people who read it, they read it a long time ago and you're benefiting, you're reminded. But the same ruling doesn't apply. And so that's why when you have, let's say, for example, you have the Quran in your, like this Quran in my book. I have many, many Qurans in my phone, right? Can I bring my phone to the bathroom? Yes, I can bring my phone to the bathroom, because as soon as I turn it off, it's no longer there. It's only digital. It's not the Quran itself. It's not, even though if you don't have electricity, it's gone. If you don't have, if you don't have battery, then it is gone. But if it reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's a good thing. It's not that it's a bad thing, but to come, but it doesn't say, you don't say, okay, I can hear the Quran and adhan in my house anyways. I don't need to go to listen to the adhan in the masjid. No, the reward is different. The reward that you hear the muadhin making the actual adhan and to repeat after him and then saying the dua afterwards, that reward is based on coming to the masjid, hearing the muadhin from the masjid, and not hearing the muadhin like, you know, outside.
The room, and when the prayer comes, that they hear the muadhin come.
Yeah, they should. They can, if they hear the adhan, anytime they hear the adhan, they can. You can. It's like I said, you can repeat it, even for the men. If you want, you can repeat it. But I'm saying the reward for a specific reward comes from the actual adhan. Yeah, because when it's time to pray, then you pray your sunnah. Yeah, yeah. Yes, you do.
Another thing is the salawat. They have Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And then Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad. Which one is better?
You can say both of them. You can, it's you know, but the thing is, When you say the salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best is the ones that's taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. That's a salat Ibrahimiyya. That one, you can say that, or you can just say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad. Salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he says, if you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad from the hadith, that's enough already. Just saying that is enough already. Because when you say salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, because he says thumma sallu alayya, and when you say sallu alayya, that means any form that is taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can say inshallah. So it's just like when you make the ruku and sujood, you say Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. You can also say Subhan Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdi, because if they're all authentic, then you can use both of them.
After Hayya al-Salah, Hayya al-Falah, there's another saying that Ana ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Is that sahih?
Are you talking about?
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
Yes.
Repeat.
What would you when you're repeating already, you're already saying that. You should just repeat exactly whatever he says.
No, but I know that see on the Hisna Muslim.
Yes.
They say after the Hayy ala al-Falah, Hayy ala al-Falah, right? Then you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and then after that you say Ana ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa qawlu la sharika lah. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Is that
صحيح? Yeah, you can. That addition has come to us through some of the athar from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if somebody wants to say, that's fine. Also, it's authentic. It's permissible. Also, because you have to, you know, like sometimes you have a hadith. And then the interpretation of the hadith, of how to apply that hadith, and some of the companions would add and say some things with the approval of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But not everybody would say the same thing. Just like, for example, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the companions, say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Some of the companions in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in front, they would sometimes they would say the takbir also, and so sometimes they would add to the talbiyah itself in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are some things that you can do that's taught to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some additions to it that was done by some of the companions in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even afterwards. If it's, you know, it's also considered permissible when it's done by the companions, if it doesn't contradict any of that. And so these additions are permissible. Yeah, sahih. So when you say ana ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, means I bear witness that there's no deity worthy except Allah. And but you've already said it already. So if you want to say that, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. So here, inshallah, will anyone have any other questions with the adhan, relating to the adhan?
Here, like adhan?
Yes.
Do I have to also say the dua after that, for wasila?
The thing is, when you ask for wasila, you can always ask at any time. You should ask only after the adhan, right? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, let's say we hear the electronic adhan. I mean, the electronic adhan is not an adhan, it is an adhan that's shar'i in itself. You know, it's like somebody who puts an adhan, let's say for example, there are some brothers who have their phones, like the adhan goes off. Like the adhan goes off, and then, so it's ringing. So should you even put the adhan in like the as a ringtone? The ringtone itself, the adhan is an act of worship, and these acts of worship should not be used in other parts and other areas that may cause someone. Let's say, for example, if your phone goes off and you're in the bathroom, that's also not, you don't know when it's going to go off. And the adhan going off in the bathroom is not appropriate. So, you know, ayats, verses of the Quran, or adhans and so forth should not be a part of your part of that. But so should you repeat afterwards? Like I said, it's not part of the legitimate adhan. It's a reminder for you only. It's just a reminder, especially for us in countries that don't have the adhan. If you notice that if you go to a Muslim country, the brothers in the Muslim countries, like if you go to Muslim countries, if you go to their houses, one thing you won't see is what? You don't see adhan clocks. They don't need it. You know, they don't need the adhan clocks because the adhan clock is going to be disturbing them more. Why has it disturbed them more? Because when it goes off, it's going off against the real adhan. That's the adhan that you're supposed to repeat after, not the adhan of the clock. Right? For us, living in a non-Muslim country, we don't have that. We don't have that. So let's say, for example, I'll give you an example. Okay, if I can't pray in the masjid, can I put the Dhuhr prayer or the Fajr prayer of the al-masjid, Masjid Haram, today's Fajr prayer was recorded. I put it in and I follow that. Well, do I get the same reward as praying in the masjid?
No.
I don't. So if my adhan is going off, it's the same as following the imam. Do you understand? It's the same as, so the same ruling doesn't apply. The same ruling doesn't apply. If you want to, say it, that's fine, go ahead. If you want to repeat because the imam is reading the Quran and you're learning from his recitation, and listen to it and watch, is no problem. That's permissible. But to say, to get the same reward, do I have to do the same thing? No, you don't. You don't have, because that's not the real adhan. And so the real, if it's not the real adhan that's being called in the masjid, then the same rulings and reward is not connected to it. Otherwise, I don't need to go to the masjid. I don't need to go to the masjid. I can just pray, like, following, especially now, right? Like now, if I can get a feed from the imam in the masjid, do I have to? And then somebody might say, well, what about the sisters? They don't see us. But the sisters, for the sisters, there's a different ruling. When someone's in the same area where they would be able to see us, if it weren't for that wall, then the ruling applies to them. Right? But if you're all the way at home, if that thing is not there, let's say, okay, if we say that it's permissible to follow the imam, Allahu Akbar, then what happens when the feed is gone? It's finished. It's cut off. And so that's why ruling is not the same. So if you're asking, is it the same? Do I do the same thing? No, you don't. And it doesn't. It's not the exact same thing. Is it a reminder? Can you have it? Yeah, you can have it. But it doesn't replace it. It doesn't replace the adhan. And you don't replace an electronic adhan with a real adhan. And the thing is, some people do that. Some people, like I mentioned stories before of some villages and some towns and some countries right now, to this day, they don't have a muezzin. The muezzin only makes the iqamah. The adhan is done by a computer or a phone or MP3 player. They put the speaker there every single time. It's the best adhan every day. Right? And so is that, then who makes the adhan? No, who gets the reward? You're abandoning something that's part of our deen. You know what? If it's a Sony recorder, does it get Sony gets the reward here? No, what? No, you can't replace it. You have to make the adhan, even if your adhan doesn't sound as good as the other one. Otherwise, why would I have to be the imam here? Put sudais every day, every night. Put a big screen, right? And every single time, Allahu Akbar, mashallah. Khushu, khushu. Right? You guys want to do that? No, we can't do that. Right? You can't replace that with the real adhan. And Allah subhanahu knows best. And that's why with the pandemic, there was a big problem. Right? People were saying, like, okay, can we pray? Remember when the pandemic happened, when there was no Jummah in the masjid? So now, can we replace that with a feed of the masjid? And because we can't come to the masjid to pray, does that count as Jummah? Do you pray? Because if you say, because the rule is different, right? If you count it as Jummah, how many rak'ahs do you pray?
Two.
But if you don't count it as Jummah, how many rak'ahs do you have to pray?
Four.
So if you, let's say the pandemic was happening, right? And so some people, you know, some masajids had feed. So they had the imam, the khatib, and then they had a feed. The Jummah was just a couple of people. And then they had a feed to the people who want to listen, you know, online, the streaming live. So some people, when they were praying, they were following the imam. And how many were they praying? They were praying two. No, that's not valid. That doesn't count as a Jummah. You didn't go, even in the pandemic. You're independent. You can't just pray two rak'ahs. So those people, you can listen to the khatib, no problem. You're free to listen to the khatib. But when it comes to the ruling, what ruling do you apply? You apply the Islamic ruling. That means you didn't come to Jummah. That means you pray four rak'ah. When the imam prays two, you turn off the feed, and then you pray four rak'ahs of Zuhr. Because just because you listen to the adhan, the khatib through online does not mean it replaces the khutbah of the masjid. Right? And so that actually, it happens to us, and that's why the scholars, so some of the scholars have mentioned. Yeah, okay, if a sister, you know, in Muslim countries, when the khatib is making the khutbah, if a sister is at home, the sister is at home, can she hear the adhan? She can hear the adhan. Can she hear the khutbah? She can, if she lives close to the area, the neighborhood, she can hear the khutbah. So can she sit at home and listen to the khutbah? And she can even hear the prayer from her home. What does she pray? Does she pray Jum'ah or does she pray Dhuhr? She prays Dhuhr. Even if she can hear all of that through the speakers, right? Because she didn't attend the Jum'ah. Right? She's not part of the congregation of the Jum'ah. And if you didn't attend the congregation, even if you're able to hear it through the speakers, it doesn't count. It doesn't count. So right now, the Mu'adhin is making Adhan. Okay, Allahu Akbar. Okay, but I can't hear it. Right, I can't hear it. And so, if I hear it, let's say, for example, if I have a machine that makes that adhan, it doesn't replace the adhan that's in the masjid. It doesn't replace me coming to the masjid also. Right. So if you do that, if we make that, okay, it's permissible to do all of that, nobody would come to the masjid. Then you would leave all of that. And so that's why, even with all modern technology and so forth, the rulings that have been set still remain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Inshallah, we have a few more minutes left. Let me just go through the next hadith. And this is Bab Istiqbal Al-Qibla. So the first hadith in this chapter about facing the Qibla is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يسبح على ظهر راحلته حيث كان وجهه يومئ برأسه. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to in this particular hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the tasbih, I mean, he used to pray upon on his rahila. On his camel, and wherever the camel would go, then he would go, and he would. How did he pray? He used to pray. Of course, you can't make sujood and you can't make ruku' when you're sitting on a camel, so he used to lower his head to signify his sujood and his ruku. وكان ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما يفعله عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه used to do it. And in another narration, وكان يوتر على بعيره. And he used to pray witr on his camel. And in Sahih Muslim, غير أنه لا يصلي عليها المكتوبة. Except that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not pray the obligatory prayers on his camel. Which means the sunnah prayers, you're allowed to pray sitting down. Right, because even if you, like for example, in Taraweeh prayer, you're allowed to pray sitting down, even if you're able to stand up. But the person who's praying sitting down gets half the prayer of the person standing up. And of course, he says right here, he says, "Kan yusabbih ala dhahri rahilati." He used to make tasbih, which means here you might think, "Oh, he just made tasbih like Subhanallah." No, because the prayer itself includes the tasbih of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, the glorification of Allah. That's the, which he actually means. He's actually, maybe he's using this word because you don't have the whole actions of the prayer, all the actions of the prayer. So why are we talking about this? Because the Messenger of Allah would face towards the Qibla some at the beginning, and then he would turn his camel to whatever direction it may go, which means that you don't have to face the Qibla if you are praying, you know, on a camel, or if you're praying on a, you know, on an airplane, if you're unable to face the Qibla. And for sunnah prayers, and even for fard obligatory prayers, if you don't have any other option. But for sunnah prayers, many of the conditions are excused. It means you don't have to do them. So inshallah, next week we'll be speaking about the facing of the Qibla. And this is also very, very important, because there are some issues that we have. Like, I know some brothers, they come to the masjid and they're like looking like, this is not, like, hey, the Qibla, you know, should be this way a little bit more, or should be that way a little bit. That, is it permissible for me, do I have to face the exact direction of Qibla, or just the vicinity of the Qibla, the direction of the Qibla? Or is it off a little bit? Yes. Any sunnahs you can pray sitting down. You don't have to stand up, but you get less reward for sitting down. Yeah. So, and you can even pray in your car. Like, let's say if you're on a long trip, a long road trip, you can even pray while you're driving. Like, I'm not telling you, don't drive, don't go down, don't look at the road, right? Right? Just, you know, you can just lower it to the point, just a slight, to differentiate as much as you're able to. But let's say you're driving to California, and California is the opposite direction of the Qibla. Can you pray your witr prayer when you're on the car driving? Yeah, you can. You can pray. You read everything, you're sitting down. While you're driving, you can still pray your sunnah prayers. When you're on the plane, you can do the same thing also. Yeah. But what happens if you're driving and let's say something happens and you end up having to make sudden movements, right? Is your prayer broken? Let's say, for example, you're driving and somebody gets, oh, yeah, Allah, like, you know, and you move over, right? You turn the steering wheel, and then you're like, your mind is already like, you know, like, subhanAllah, and you stopped already. Well, can you continue? Do you continue your prayer? Okay. Yeah. If the movements, any movement in prayer that is necessary, can be continued if it does not nullify the acts of the prayers. Like say, for example, let's say you have someone in the car with you, right? As soon as that happens, you start speaking. You know, like a regular, like, oh man, did you see that truck? Like, man, we almost got, oh yeah, and then you start a whole conversation. And in that case, you know, you just broke your prayer, right? But if you were conscious and you're like, oh, I'm still praying, and you made that, and then you continued back, then you'd be okay. Because you didn't do anything more that would say that you are not praying anymore. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is best. Inshallah, we'll mention more than that.
During the pandemic, I was doing a prayer at home.
Yes.
And he said it was okay. And everybody was looking at the screen.
It's okay to follow the imam, you know, to listen to him. Yeah, it's okay to listen to him, no problem. But you can't pray your Jummah.
No, it wasn't Jummah, it was Tarawih. It was Ramallah, during the pandemic.
Yes.
So he was leading prayer at home with his screen. So I was like, I forgot to ask you.
Yeah, but the thing, if he's in another country, how do you pray Tarawih prayer? Because it's not Tarawih prayer right here. Yeah, you can, but let's say you're in America and the brothers and the sheikh is in Somalia. Like, how are you going to do that? Like, because It's daytime there. If they're praying Taraweeh prayer there, are you praying Taraweeh at noontime? Because you'd have to pray your Taraweeh at noontime here. Because their Taraweeh prayer is not daytime over here. You already the day. It's not Taraweeh prayer over here.
But basically, I think it was targeting on this state.
Yeah.
On this area.
Yeah, yeah.
He was saying that this is okay. You can do prayer. Maybe he was doing at this city.
Yeah, the thing is, if he... You know, you can broadcast it, but in terms of to follow the actions of someone who's, you're at home and you're not in the masjid, to follow his actions through a live stream, then you don't get the same reward as that. But sometimes people want to pray because they want to, you know, they want to read a long time, but generally you don't do that. Yeah. I mean, you can listen to it, but you pray yourself. And the thing is, you don't have to, if you don't memorize a lot, then you just repeat whatever you memorize, inshallah. Mm-hmm. And wallahu a'lam.